WSHU's new podcast about climate change, Higher Ground, explores how Long Island and other coastal communities find ways to adapt to rising sea level and extreme weather. In several episodes, it explores Montauk and other places that are considering moving away from the coast. And now a specialist in international relations weighs in. Higher Ground host J.D. Allen speaks with Parag Khanna, who sees this coastal retreat as a global solution.
Research shows that climate change will make it hotter and wetter, with more extreme weather events and volatility that contributes to rising tides. Parag Khanna, thanks for joining me. You're the founder of a group called Future Map, which advises governments and companies across the globe on how to deal with climate change. That's a tall order for you to help with.
It sure is. But then again, climate change is coming at us faster than we ever thought. And, you know, so much of our economy is not this dematerialized, ethereal internet economy. Place really matters. Geography really matters. And I wrote this book from the standpoint of geography, understanding what geographies are going to remain livable, because we shouldn't be a survival society in which we live just to continue to rebuild. But rather, I believe we need to relocate proactively to places where humanity can resettle and thrive.
Yeah, and so you did write a book. It's called Move, the Forces Uprooting Us. And it's about the need for Americans to have physical mobility to move away from the impacts of climate change, like severe coastal flooding, but also droughts and forest fires. Why is movement a solution?
It turns out that the pathway, the surest pathway to economic mobility, which we all crave and desire, is actually physical mobility, getting up and moving. And historically, Americans used to move a lot more in search of that American dream. The westward expansion is just one example. Or out of desperation, if you look at people who have moved from the Rust Belt to the Sun Belt after the financial crisis. So we need to encourage more physical mobility, but we also need to have climate change in mind and climate factors. Again, why should people move to places where their homes are potentially going to be destroyed, only to lose their life savings? And of course, now the insurance industry and the government are stepping in to nudge people away through higher premiums for flood insurance or reconstruction grants that are pegged to moving away from climate risk areas. So in fact, American federal policy is definitely starting to nudge in the direction that I'm advocating.
And you mentioned government. So in Nassau and Suffolk County, New York, where my podcast Higher Ground takes place, researchers anticipate that the rate of sea level rise to be over a foot every 100 years. But the latest UN climate report expects high tides to rise up to 6 feet by 2100 globally. How do people and people in decision-making roles perceive this mounting pressure to do something?
Well, one of the most important rules, moral rules, you might say, of public policy is called the precautionary principle, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And we shouldn't make our estimates and our forecasts and do our planning based upon what is the mildest, longest term scenario. In other words, you need to assume the worst and plan accordingly. And that would mean, again, anticipating that there's going to be more sea level rise, more coastal surges, and faster than we thought. Look at Hurricane Ida, which battered the Gulf Coast, but it flooded basements in New Jersey. Now, no current climate model tells you that that's going to happen. So we need to act accordingly. So the smart governments are the ones that are saying, how can we, again, incentivize people to move to climate resilient areas? Now, in America, that would mean the Great Lakes region, which is, of course, ironic because in the last 10 years, we have seen the population of the Rust Belt states, particularly Michigan, decrease, and Michigan has even lost congressional seats. But now we're in a situation where if you take Louisiana, the population is starting to decline because people have just suffered one natural disaster after another, and it costs too much to rebuild infrastructure, which is simply going to be destroyed again in the next storm. So that's where the government needs to say, you may not know where you're going to go next, but let us help you relocate from south to north, right, from Louisiana to Michigan, if need be. And that's what spatial planning at a national scale is about. Now, I'm not talking about forced migration here, right? I'm talking about helping people prepare for the rest of their lives in a place so they don't have to suffer the tragedies that they already have again.
It's not something that all communities can afford to do, though. On Long Island, we explore how Montauk might plan to do just that, to move away from the coast, but that's got Hampton's money involved. How do we ensure that this process is equitable?
When you think about the northeast of the United States, we do have space to move inward. You know, Long Island in particular is rather narrow, but let me give you the example of Westchester County. I actually grew up in Westchester County, and it's a highly climate resilient area. One of the things that you've seen organically during the pandemic is simply because of the option for remote work, people have been moving to the upper Hudson Valley and really populating and revitalizing some of those towns all the way up towards Poughkeepsie and beyond. And I'll just add again on a personal level, my parents left and retired and moved to California, and they actually sold their house at a pretty significant loss because it was before the pandemic. And America's family sizes have shrunk, and you know, new families didn't want to have a house of that sort of size. But today you find a huge demand for exactly those properties. So in other words, the lesson in this is we're not very good at matching up what's happening economically and in the housing market with what's happening environmentally, where some of the places that are actually really safe and secure have been, you know, sort of not attracting people the way they should. So I think that, you know, there are, America is a large country, one of the several largest countries on the planet Earth. So often I get frustrated when I hear people say that climate change is going to be so disastrous, you know, for the country. I say, wait a minute. You know, just because, Miami is in trouble or, you know, certain boroughs of New York are in trouble. Remember that we have 3,000 counties in America and most of America is climate resilient. So let's not treat America as this heavily bordered and fortified set of states and counties. We have mobility, right? You know, and mobility has to be part of that American dream where people say, look, you know, it's not my fault, climate change, right? But, you know, as an American, you have to, in a way, spread yourself out, take advantage of the vast geography that we have, and rebuild in new places.
Parag Khanna is the founder of the Global Advisor Future Map and is the author of Move, The Forces Uprooting Us. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Join climate specialists and WSHU's J.D. Allen to explore how Long Islanders are finding ways to adapt to climate change in their neighborhoods on the new climate podcast, Higher Ground. It's available wherever you get your podcasts.